welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott return to France, specifically Northern Rhone, as they drink another wine from Michel Chapoutier. This time is Gros Hermitage, he calls Petit Rouge. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's good to be here, and we're greeting an old friend. No, the superstar's not joining us, but an old friend who's been on the show several times at least.
And, well, in different costumes, I suppose. On tonight's show.
We're not talking about the
what
idiocy of Rob's mind and his...
What?
Schizophrenic characters.
I don't know what you mean. I don't wear costumes. I'm naked. That's the difference.
I wish you wore a costume.
Well, sometimes I put a sock on my dick. That's okay. Yeah.
What, it'd be like a child's toy sock?
Why do you have to bring children into that? That's perverted,
nice,
Scott.
It need to be a small size sock.
It is a small sock. It's a tube sock. A small one, though. You're right. And I tell people, do you want to play with the puppet? That's right.
Oh, Lord.
No one does.
Yeah, the Masters of Puppet doesn't come into your head.
If you're in the county jail, don't do that as like your opening act to your fellow inmates. It doesn't work out.
You know, the next time you go to the county jail, don't do an opening act. It's not a theater.
I have to do what I have to do to survive, Scott. Well, some people beat up the biggest, strongest man in there. That's not for me. Other people become people's bitches. That's not for me. I never get picked for that. So all I've got to do is entertain. So that's what I got to do. Hopefully the second part all happens too, but it never works out. It's unfortunate. I feel like I'm always picked last for everything. It's not fair.
Well,
I don't know.
You're probably not a good athlete.
It's true, but I'm not running from anything, so I'm brave.
So on tonight's show, forgetting all the puppet penis things. We have a... I don't know why this guy brings it. Why did you write that? That's weird. Anyway, Michel Chapoutier. I'm sure he's very glad that we followed his wine with that little bit. But Michel Chapoutier, and this is not something that we've had before. This is Northern Rhone. So we've done their Côte de Rhone. We've done the Occlidum, which is from... Mm-hmm. That's Southern Rhone, isn't it?
It seems like it.
Yeah. We've done a white wine, I think. We did their Roussillon, and we did something. Oh, we've done their Banyuls, the dessert wine. I don't know if that's aired or not. We thought that was fine. But tonight, we have a wine from Gros Hermitage, which is Northern Rhone. It's actually the northernest part of Northern Rhone. It's one of the largest areas within Northern Rhone. And this is their Petit Rouge. Gros Hermitage is predominantly Syrah. Now, on some Gros Hermitages, they can add a little bit of white wine, whether it be Marsan or Roussillon. This one, though, is 100% Syrah. So it's a little bit different in that regard. And Gros Hermitage, by the way, Gros Hermitage is spelled C-R-O-Z-E-S. The S is silent, then H-E-R-M-I-T-A-G-E. The H is silent. So S and H are silent. But
very classic French pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. It's sandwiched basically between Saint Joseph, which is kind of a lighter style Syrah. And Northern Rhone, Syrah is king, right? But actually some things in Southern Rhone, but they also include Grenache and Mourvèdre and whatnot. Up Northern, it's predominantly Syrah. But so Saint Joseph is very floral. Scott and I have had some stuff from there. We've had Coronas is another one that they're a little bit softer, more floral, more elegant. Then there's the beast that is Hermitage, and that's a bigger one. This sits somewhere in the middle. Most generally, these are made to drink sooner than Hermitage, for instance. But you know, they still can be aged 10 to 15 years, depending on the wine. Not this one, but some other ones. I bought this one for $24.99. That's a lower price. And I think right now it's back up to $34, which is normally where you're going to find it between $30 and, you know, $45, $50 on the high side. That's really high side. Occasionally you find some in the low 20s too. But it's going to have great, great representations of the terroir. This one particularly has alluvium soils. It's going to have a little bit of oak. It is on stainless, but it also is on oak. So, you know, you got a little bit of that there. It's an interesting wine. And we love Syrah, and we love things from Rhone, generally. So this is a wine that is basically fits right in where we want. From what I can remember, the Côte du Rhône, we've done both the Côte du Rhône and the Côte du Rhône Village, but the Belle Rouge, and they're both Côte du Rhônes, they're predominantly Syrah from Chaputière,
yeah,
I believe. So it's not all that. They are really a Syrah kind of place. Oh, you know what? We did the stuff from Languedoc from them. The Bille Haute.
Yes.
Auchlédon was from Languedoc. It wasn't from Rhône. That's what it was. I believe it. And the Auchlédon is fantastic. It's about the same price as this, actually. Now that I think about it. I would seek that out in a heartbeat, and I believe it was predominantly Syrah as well. That was gorgeous.
And that one was set back for a little bit. That had been set down for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And I found it at some random place in some random shop in some random part of Ohio, and I bought it there. You know? I was like, ooh.
We see it on wine.com.
Occasionally.
It just comes and goes. All the Chaputier line on wine.com comes and goes, but keep your eye out for it. You might. So one of the neat features of that website, you can go in there and request a little ding anytime anything from Chaputier gets on site.
Hey,
and it's a nice little reminder. Hey, you might try this.
For some reason, they remind me all the time when Rodney Strong Chardonnay comes back in. I don't know why. But I have not got the email yet for anything that's Bordeaux. Wonder why that is. Because there's only 25 of them. Or is it 24 now? I don't know, Scott. It's hard to count that many Bordeaux's.
Don't be so...
And Mouton Cadet doesn't count, assholes.
It's Ohio. They hate us here.
Fuckers. That's ridiculous. There are more Bordeaux's in Ohio than 25. I don't want to hear it. That's bullshit. Wine.com. You're fucking lazy. You know what? Go fuck yourself. That's what I said about that.
You're going to get kicked off stewardship.
I already basically. Well, they tried to kick me off. Fuck them. Fuck them in the ear. Can I offer you a great wine? Yeah. Yeah, a Bordeaux, dickhead. No, I don't want that. Yes, go ahead. I'm mad.
Other angry. Grapes that are in this region of Rhone are the Roussans.
Yeah.
Roussans. I wonder what the combination of Roussan and this. And they can still meet the AOC.
Up to 15%.
And have white Roussan in there, possibly.
No, they can blend white wine with this. But this particular one, I do not believe, has any trace of white wine.
Do you think it's just regular Roussan?
It's just... No.
Or you think it's just straight
this
Syrah?
This is just Syrah. Some of them do have Roussan or Marsan. I mean, either one of those, so...
There's not really much here about whether that's the case or not. They don't, you know, there's not really tasting notes or...
I found the spec sheet on the 20. That's all I got.
And it's all Syrah.
Mm-hmm. Grape variety, Syrah. Yep. High alluvium soil deposits. Grapes are harvested at maturity, which I would hope that they would be, and that's normally the best time to do that. Aging is performed in vats. Yes. This one will be bottled in the next autumn. So vats, I think probably oak fooders is what I would think.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have maybe a little bit more of a mellow texture, less surface contact. So you're just gonna have it's gonna impart a little bit of the silkiness, but it's not gonna impart burnt flavor. It's not gonna taste like an ore.
It's not gonna be the strongest oak thing you've ever had. Mm-mm.
No, it's gonna be in balance. Hopefully, that's what we got. So folks. With that, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? by giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Michel Chapoutier Petite Rouge, which is
Chapoutier.
I have an interesting story to tell.
Excuse me?
I have an interesting story to tell. I have several interesting stories to tell on the potpourri, and we'll just leave it at that. But
well, why don't you just tell one now?
Because I won't. I'm going to save it. It's called a teaser, Scott. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I also have something called the teaser.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Does it involve feathers?
It's my fourth finger. It's this. It's like this, Scott. You just put the fourth finger up there. What is the use of this finger? It's not the middle finger or the pinky or the. It's the ring finger, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, but if on the otherwise, what's the point of this finger? The ring finger. It has no point. It barely even functions for anything. I figured out a way to use it, Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're so creative.
It's the teaser because it's not that big.
It's the teaser.
It's a narrow finger, so you just stick, and it's just it teases you. It's not like you got a thumb. So it's yeah. It's not as mobile as, say, your index finger. So the index finger can do far more motions than the ring finger. So, you know, and the pinky is just, that's not a tease. That's not even anything. So, the teaser. Yeah. Okay. Scott's right now realized what the teaser means. And I hope he didn't think too hard about it because then, well, the tamarack is calling, so.
Anyway.
I thought I wrote this line.
You did. That's what he was saying right there. He admits that he writes these jokes.
No, he's a pervert. I thought I wrote these lines.
The teaser. Anyway.
Didn't we have a coat rotee as well on the show?
No. Coat rotees are twice this much, maybe three times. If you want to buy a coat rotee, that would be great.
I'd love to buy a coat rotee.
Yeah, you should. We should actually tell the AOCs within Northern Rome. Let's look it up so we... You know.
The AOCs within Northern Rome will follow. Cote Rôti.
Yes.
Condru.
Yeah.
Chateau Grier.
Let's slow down. And I will say, I'll tell what it's mostly famous for. Okay. Go ahead.
Cote Rôti.
Cote Rôti, Syrahs. Once again, big, powerful Syrahs.
What's the white that's can be in there?
I would assume it's Roussier.
Viognier.
Oh, Viognier. Well, I know Cordonneux is Viognier. Cordonneux is famous for Viognier.
Just white's Viognier only.
Yeah.
It's Condru.
Mm-hmm.
Chateau Grier, same thing. White's a Viognier.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Joseph.
A lighter, more elegant style of Syrah.
Up to 10% of Marsan and Roussan.
Yep.
White's of only Marsan and Roussan.
Mm-hmm.
Crozes Hermitage. Okay, and we're doing the Syrah up to 15% Marsan and Roussan. Hermitage, same deal.
More powerful, more closer to the river, and it's a smaller area. It's fantastic.
So probably more gravelly natured soil.
Yes.
Cornas.
Yes, we've had Cornas. That. We've had that. We had the Augustus Klopp Cornas.
I don't remember that one.
It was the night that I had found out that the Triple B was with child.
Oh.
Remember Margarete night?
Oh.
Yes. Daughter. Yes, yes.
And last but not least.
It is least, but yeah.
Saint-Péray.
White.
Sparkling and still wines of Marsan Roussan.
You do not see a lot of Saint-Péray. You do not see a lot of, what's another one? The Chateau Grillet. You don't see those at all. Ever. I'm not saying that they don't they're not over here, but they are not heavily marketed or shown anywhere. You do see Cornas, you see Cross Hermitage quite a bit, Hermitage, which are very expensive. Saint Joseph are a little harder to find, but you still find them. Cote Rôti is also harder to find, but I would suggest going on the Wine Folly or any place and look at the map when you're looking at the Rhone River and see how it is. Just see the different size differentiations between the different AOCs, and you'll kind of get the idea of why you might not see much of some of these other ones. So
really small areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, California's huge in comparison to the main wine producings that we discuss in France.
Mm-hmm. And so this wine does have some reviews. Yes, thank you. Hi, this is Tim Atkins.
Tim. Timmy, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Scott. Did you have any more wine presentations this week?
No, I was just really disturbed by Wilfred's teaser finger.
Oh, teaser. Scott, it's not so bad.
It's not, Tim?
No, no. It's, I would call it more of an appetizer than a teaser.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, the wine enthusiast. They were very enthusiastic for the teaser as well. Anyway, they gave it 90 of their points, and they said, whiffs of smoked nuts. That's a real Rob laugh, actually. Clove, dried plum, and cherry introduced this penetrating, I didn't make this up, fresh fruited Syrah. It's medium-bodied and crisply balanced, offsetting juicy, easy-drinking black fruit flavors against brisk acidity and very fine, smooth tannins. Ready to drink now, but should hold through 2024.
Well, we broke that rule.
Well, yeah, this is a 17, by the way, and this is what's currently sold on wine.com, although I think Chaputio has some newer stuff, mm-hmm. But... Yes, this is James Suckling, Scott. I'm happy to be on the show, not to be sitting across from you, because I do not present at nursing homes. I'm just putting that out, because they don't actually hire me. My booking agent has not been able to get me that gig, and I'm quite upset about it.
It's not your audience.
Any audience is my audience, Scott.
Anyone.
I would do it anything for... Were you paid? How much were you paid?
No pay.
Oh,
I just do it under for the experience.
Under the table, yes.
It's called giving back, sir.
I don't know what that means. Anyway, I provided this wine a hearty 90 of my points.
That's
which
not many of your points.
I'm not often. I'm not on the show very much anymore to talk about my points, partly because Chile apparently is is persona non grata on the wine vault since they don't have any of those wines on the show anymore. I don't know why, but anyway. Some peppery notes to the ripe berries here. This has a supple and succulent feel with a wealth of spices and attractive fruit. You know, Scott.
Yes.
What fruit do you find attractive? I find the peach to be the most attractive fruit.
Well, you know, that's disappointing to hear because Wilfred seems to think that you find him most attractive.
That's homophobic, Scott. I'm pretty sure what you just said was so.
No, I just speaking on. Wilfred talks about you all the time.
He likes peaches too, but he does something more disturbing with them. I just think it's a handsome looking fruit.
That's a good song too.
He will have sex with peaches. I don't want to talk about it, but
millions.
I do, Scott. They're very fleshy.
Peaches for free.
That's right.
Anyway, the palate has quite sturdy and ripe tannins with silky or super silky edge and plenty of smoke, spice, and black fruit flavor.
That's all you got, James?
Yes.
It seems like your heart wasn't in that review.
Has my heart ever been in any of the reviews I've written?
Oh, sure.
Name one.
You know, you love those drink or hold.
I was getting paid by the word. Or the hour, actually, on this one. It took me 7 hours to write that.
I'll bet it did. Yeah,
very hard. I'm basically illiterate, so.
Well.
In the glass. Slightly translucent. But it has a deep plummy color to it. Maybe just a wink of crimson in that. By the way, 13% alcohol. Smoky berry flavors.
And Atkins' reading of The Enthusiast talked about smoked nuts.
Yes.
It's on the nose.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
It's probably the most predominant characteristic, the smokiness.
I smell the clove, too. I didn't write that review. Neither did I. I don't write reviews. Hell, I even agree with the dry plum. It's an alluring nose. I like it. But I like syrup.
The smokiness has a bit of pungency about it. So
it should, though.
Some people might not like the nose because of that.
But this is a wine, first of all, Syrah isn't for everybody.
Yep.
But especially French Syrah, and especially Northern Rhone Syrah. That is, you're getting into high-level Syrah drinking when you're talking about that. It can be a little bit guttural and hard and mean.
So what we usually see with Chapoutier are balanced wines. Or to expect a legitimate, maybe not next level, but usually a nice silky or some level of mouthfeel that generally is usually above its price point.
But they're never afraid, though, to really let the flavors loose. They don't, even though I believe this is their tradition line, they never shy away from really letting Rhone just creep out. And really, I think their Côte de Rhone's are acquired taste. I have that acquired taste. I love their Côte de Rhone's. But not everybody, I think, would, because they can be a little bit like flavors of Garrigue, and, you know, which is weird. Can even have like a little forest brush undertones to it. It really is. Not rustic, because they are very uptown, but at the same time, they have old world flavors really permeating through, and it really kind of, these wines kind of speak to me when they come across. I think that they're just lovely. Really, the Aqueduct for me so far has been like the pinnacle of the stuff we've had of them, but hopefully this wine should be on that plane. That's what I'm hoping for, because we can find this a little bit easier.
Old World Syrah glasses tonight?
Of course, because this is Old World Syrah.
Because this is Old World Syrah. And going in.
These are our favorite glasses.
I tell you what surprises me about this. It has a Merlot-like mouthwashing astringency.
It is astringent. But
and I love it.
It's such an interesting wine, because I think it's a little prettier than what we thought it would be.
Hmm.
And what it has a very nice brushy kind of like underbrush front palate, where you have forest floor with black fruits and maybe tinges of smoke, and then that kind of gives way to the astringency like Scott's talking about in the tannin, the mid palate, and then it finishes with lots of length because the finish is still going on, but it even has little black pepper notes and spice that carry through, and it's really, really interesting. It's not some sort of massive beast, mind you, but it's very interesting all the way through.
It's more than a pop of acidity. There's a bit of acidity there that I like. It's not out of balance.
I think it's more astringency and spice than acidity. I mean, there's naturally acidity in all wines, but I think what's showing there mostly is the astringency going into the tannin. And then spice on the finish. People that like Tempranillo would really enjoy this wine, because it has a little bit of the elegance of a nice Tempranillo. I would say Sangiovese too, but no, because the fruit is too ripe in the front palate for that. But it does emulate a little bit, in my opinion, a Rioja. Not something from, you know, Toro or something like that, but a Rioja Tempranillo. It comes across a little bit like that.
This is as fruity. I would almost describe this as a fruit forward wine, particularly relative to where it's from.
Well, I think they would say that. They would say that too, though.
Yeah, and I think they'd say it unabashedly. Mm-hmm. Where.
Now, we have to make known, though, the type of fruit that we're talking about. We're not talking about gobs of classic Californian fruit forward.
This is not a California cab type fruit. The fruit's proper. It's what it should be.
Yes, yes.
It's wonderful. That's the thing that surprised me about this, how fruit forward it is. Yet it's still a wonderful representation of what Chiboutier does. It's just a super well-balanced wine. This just has a little more fruit forward nature about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that mid-palate. That kick of acidity, that mouth-washing astringency. The finish is, you know, it's not the most tannic thing, but they're fine. I'd maybe describe them as like fine-grained tannins.
Yeah.
But the finish is nice, subtle, soft but long pepper.
Oh, gobs of pepper. It's one of the more peppery wines we've had in a while. I think Becky would like that aspect. She wouldn't like anything else of it, but, well, Becky is currently on the mend. She can't taste right. We had Peter Fran. Well, some people would argue she never could, but still. We had
Peter. Their name Rob.
Yeah, Peter.
Or Wilfred.
Peter Franis's Brandlin Vineyard Zen on Friday night, and she said it tastes like vomit, and it certainly didn't. It was lovely. And she bemoaned she can't taste right. I think it's a combination of medication and whatnot. So she's still on the mend.
Damn it.
I'm just saying. She can taste a margarita. That's about it. It has to be like Margaritaville for her to taste it right. I don't know why.
Yeah, it doesn't help with red wines now, does it?
No. I think whites, she still can taste okay. But reds, no, she can't.
It just depends on the white, right? But in general, a lot less subtlety to them.
Mm. Also, I think there's also the mental imprint. She knows what she's tasting, and she remembers it. It might be just palate memory screwed up with some of those drugs that she had to take for different things and affects it. I don't know. Right in, folks. Why can't Becky taste red wines correctly? And also send Scott pictures from, you know, he needs happiness because he's sad.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. I drew him a picture. And the cat poured water on it. I know, you seem happy.
I'm very happy.
I know you are. You're very happy. Let's go. Let me splash a little more in there.
Yeah. We're splashing some more of this in there for sure.
Let's go back and forth with elements of the wine. And once we're done with that, we're going to talk about some food pairings, that's for sure. Which would be the most complicated thing in the entire world with this wine. I'll start off with... Well, there's blackberry there.
And right after that blackberry is just a little hint for me, and maybe this is the acidity tricking me, almost like a cherry.
And there's something there.
Like something. And maybe it's like a dull raspberry, but I'm going for like a tart, almost sour cherry.
Well, backed up to the blackberry is tobacco leaf on the front palate. Not the mid, the front. And that's not a fruit. We know that. But
not the hugest expression of the tobacco.
Yeah, but it's there.
Then you've got the more... I'm going to go with the savory fruits, like a black currant kind of thing. It's not full-blown plum or like a stewed fruit. It's just straightforward black currant.
There's also dried fruit elements that are present. I mean, that's kind of... Because it's you taste essences of things, like a dried plum, for instance, which is a prune, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. But that's a raisined plum. I'm talking just a dried plum. So you taste the essence, but you don't taste the juiciness of it. You know, there's essences of fruits there, but you don't taste the juiciness of it because the astringency comes in and kind of stops that from happening.
Instead of rose water, you're describing plum water. Essence of plum.
Did I mention what the teaser was, Scott? See, it's the fourth finger, yeah. No.
You want some plum water that finger?
No, I'll put some plums in some water if that's what you want, but it's just that'll charge you $17 for that, Scott. I'm just, you know. I have a menu.
I bet you do.
That's a bad term for it, but still, I don't want anybody to eat me, but that's okay. I mean, for enough money, I mean, you could, but...
You could buy a new...
I couldn't spend the money if I was eaten, though, could I?
No.
I don't think I want to be eaten then, no.
Probably a bad thing.
What if I captured a hobo and they ate the hobo? I could charge for that.
You go to jail for that.
I mean, I can go to jail all the time anyway. What the hell? Might as well make some money off it, you know?
Oh, Lord.
They don't have to catch me. You know?
Back to the wine.
Give me some credit.
Yeah.
The peppery finish.
Oh, the peppery finish is what I love. It just tastes... This is the thing. The wine itself, to me, tastes like the essence of another wine. That's just kind of there. It's lovely. I like that. But it never is this hard-hitting expression of a wine. It all is just laid back and relaxed and says, here. But it never, like, because normally Syrah can be guttural and punch you in the face.
Yeah,
punch you in the face. This wine does not do that in any part of the wine.
This is the softer, friendlier side of Syrah.
Yes.
Mouthfeel. Let's talk about the mouthfeel of this.
It's medium-bodied.
I'm going to go silky.
I don't know if I go to that level. I would say that it has some plushness on the front palate.
Like plush rather than silky?
Yes, because silky doesn't carry through all the way because it has the astringency and tannin, and then it goes peppery. So, it doesn't have the weightiness for silky for me.
But on that, once you get through the mid-palate, right at the start of the finish, that's where that silkiness comes through. Right there at the start of the finish, it's just this nice, coats the tongue nice, and at the back of the tongue, there's just this sense of silkiness about it. This is a classy Syrah.
It is classy Syrah. You should wear a top hat and white gloves.
Or at least dress up.
It's true. We didn't dress up.
We didn't. Well, we don't.
We look like hobos that Wilford would capture.
We are hobos.
Yes, kind of.
That Wilford would capture.
No, he couldn't catch me. No.
Well, that's because you... are him.
No, I just read what's written down here. So
he can't catch you because then Dave wouldn't be doing the catching. It would have to be somebody else doing the catching. And it's really...
I've heard, Scott, you're excellent at catching. That's what I've heard. You know, not so much on the pitching, the catching. Mm. Yeah.
Catch a cold.
Well, that's what... Some people would call it a cold. You know, to me... syphilis is a little more serious than that.
It sure is for you, isn't it?
Yes.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Bolt. And we're back, folks. So, tonight on the Potpourri is story time.
Story time, story time. I'm going to do story time.
Uncle Rob, tell me a bedtime story.
Neither one of these are bedtime stories. I'm just pointing that out. Well, none of them are. But the first story, Scott, this happened. These are things that actually happened. So, both of them happened yesterday. So, myself and some friends and children went to the Crew game, Columbus Crew. And outside the Crew Stadium, there were several, religious-affiliated wackadoodles that were spouting whatever message. One was Scientology. They were passing out little flyers that said, curious, with a question. I didn't, I was curious as to what they were talking about.
You're curious.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm curious. And the next, though, there was these people, hillbillies, white trash. What would you call them? What is the proper term for that? Slack-jawed, deliverance, rapey in the woods kind of thing,
Squeal like a pig, boy.
Meth. Anyway, they had a speaker and a mic. I'm surprised they knew how to use it, but they did. They practiced a long time, although that we get to that here in a second. And so the gentleman, which is a really loose term, he was a guy that would normally be someone you would equate to being a barfly at a bar you would never go into in a little shit town in Arkansas. And he was, about 5'9", gray hair, shitty mustache, wearing clothes that he was wearing in the 18-wheeler that he owes back taxes on. And they're trying to, Anyway, so he was very presentable, but he had a wife or a woman or someone that was his wife or whatever. And she was not attractive, but that's not the point. Let's not judge her appearance. Anyway, she was on the mic, right? And she was trying to inspire the crowd of soccer hooligans. Now, I have been drinking. Is that a shock?
I'm not shocked.
I just downed my second bourbon. It was a digestive. Scott says a bourbon isn't a digestive, but I disagree. Scott drinks Prosecco as a digestive, probably. Who knows? What do you drink as a digestive?
Real men don't drink digestives.
Well, I know. That's why I was drinking bourbon. Anyway, so she was explaining, and I think this is very, very reasonable, quite frankly. I liked her message. And the Triple B was there, and other wives were there, and she was explaining that the wife, a woman, shall always obey her man and do what the man says. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
How did that go over for you?
Well, I was, so we're walking, and this woman says that, and I am 15 feet from this woman, and I look over, and I say very loudly, that's fantastic. Becky, did you hear that? Did you hear the message she has to tell us? You're supposed to do what I say. That's fantastic. And everyone obviously is laughing now at this woman. I don't feel bad about that. And so apparently her mic time was up. And so she hands the mic that's working to Mr. 18-wheeler. And he takes the mic and he goes, testing, 1, 2. I have a mic from it. Why am I making testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, testing. The mic was fucking on and working when she was talking into it, you dumb fuck. What the fuck did you do testing for? And I didn't get to hear what he was going to say because he never actually started saying anything until we left the area. I think he thought I was going to come and talk to him. Oh, man. But that's just the appetizer. That's not the teaser. The teaser. So we were at my my in-laws, or no, my sister-in-law's house, and she lives in a housing development, you know, like house,
suburbs.
House. I mean, like everybody's right on top of each other, right? So we were there for my niece's birthday party, and also with us was Luke. So this is a Luke story.
Oh.
All right. So we're at the back of the house because they have like a bounce house and shit like that. And my sister-in-law has a Ring camera, so we, and she also has an actual camera that's like Ring camera that they put it like mounted up over their garage so they could see the whole fucking area. So they're like, "Where's Luke?" She's like, "Oh my gosh, I have a Ring alert. Luke must be in the front yard." So I go around the house and I meet him. He's pulling up his pants. And the back of his pants are wet. And I said, "What are you doing? Did you take a shit in their yard?" And he goes, No. I said, "Well, why were your pants down?" They weren't. And for some reason, I was like, okay, I must be crazy. And I look around. I don't see any shit. So we go back. And so I was talking to my sister-in-law. And she's like, "Let's look at the video." I was like, "You know, let's look at the video. I have it on my phone." So we look at the video. Luke walks out of the house, or walks around the house, comes into the front yard, pulls down his pants, and takes a shit in their fucking front yard. People all over the place. He takes a shit. So I was able to, by the video, geolocate where said turds were. And so I locate the turds, and I picked them up in a plastic bag like a fucking dog. You picking up fucking turds after a fucking dog. So,
I thought the story would involve you bringing him back around with the plastic bag and making him pick them up.
That wouldn't work out too well. Anyway, he would claim it wasn't his. So we get home. He's getting ready to take a shower. And I said, "I know what you did." And he goes, "What? You took a shit in their front yard." I used that. He goes, "No." I said, "Luke, I saw it on film." "No, you didn't. I picked up your turds." "What? Where'd you see me poop?" "On a video." "Where's the video?" "On Rachel's phone." "What?" Then he realizes, "Oh, I've been caught taking a shit in the front yard." But, you know, given that housing development, I'm sure that's going to be a common occurrence in the next few years. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, no, it won't. She's probably going to get written up.
Two of the houses around there are already rentals. So, you know, what the hell? It's getting a little dicey. Nice house in the shitty suburbs. It's like, ooh, no, you don't want to be that guy. But, you know, Luke takes a shit in the front yard, so I'm sure that'll lower the property value anyway.
Yeah.
You have any fun stories like that, Scott?
Not like they'll call out the Ohio EPA for that.
Well, I know. I mean,
you get away with it if you do.
I mean, I've taught him. I mean,
You taught him well.
I've never taken a shit outside. I've never actually taken a shit outside like that before. Ever.
Oh, you've camped?
No, not really. No, I've never done that. I always use a bathroom. Not that you want to know that, folks, but I've never done that. Never. Not my whole life. Nope. I don't think I could. Never.
You're a shy pooper?
I never thought of. There's a bathroom inside. Nobody was in it. That's the thing. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go into the bathroom? It makes no sense. Other than the fact that he's a wild animal. Tonight, we had meatloaf night. And William went up and got dressed. He put on a tie, a shirt and tie. And he put a tank top on. It was a jacket, but whatever.
I think it's more of a vest.
It was a sweater vest, but it was a tank top. It was actually his old basketball jersey, but whatever.
Well,
he's like, "Henry said I look stupid." And I said, "Well, Henry looks stupid." And I'm thinking, "Well, you do." Then Lukey was wearing a bow tie. Whatever. So
the children dressed for dinner.
They did. Not Henry.
It shouldn't Aunt Rachel's front yard, but.
Well, yeah. So Maggie, so she has ketchup, right? And she's eating the ketchup, basically. She ate all the meatloaf, but she's eating the ketchup. And so, and so she has it in her hands. And Becky goes, Maggie, are you going to use that as lotion? And she goes, yes. Rubs it and then rubs it all over her face. And Luke's sitting there eating. He has just his meatloaf on a fork, eating it. And he goes, I'm not the dirty boy. And it's like, well, you did take a shit into somebody's front yard yesterday. But no, yeah, you're not.
You let him get away with that?
It's like, I don't rub. He was just trying to make it sense to say, I'm not the dirty one.
I think he was just trying to score points with his parents after getting caught on film defecating somebody's front yard.
I'm the only one that's confronted him on that. So,
but he knows you're out against him, that it's you and the mom double teaming him, and he got busted.
Yeah. Well, regardless. Yeah, that was fun. Oh, yeah. So, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm not the dirty boy. Like, well. And the other day at Williams' baseball game, he announced to anybody, listen, we're not homeless anymore. It's like, well, you're homeless. What the fuck are you?
What was his point with that?
Crazy people don't have points, man. They shit in front yards and, you know.
He's the youngest of three boys, and he's just trying to find his way without clobbering anybody, which that's good.
Mm-hmm. Henry and I had lunch today. We went to the Pizza Cottage.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Pickerington or in Buckeye Lake?
Come on, man. The only thing over in Buckeye Lake is child pornographers.
Well, there's a Pizza Cottage there. There's the original Pizza Cottage there.
Yeah, that's why you go there. Anyway, no, I went to Pickerington. Why the fuck did I go to Buckeye Lake?
Probably closer.
To what?
Here,
the child pornographer's house that you're going to buy shit at? What the hell? What would you be in Buckeye Lake for? There's nothing over there. There's meth. I guess they make meth. Maybe you could be buying meth.
If the Pizza Cottage there.
Yes, but... Oh, my God. Come on. Pizza. Remember there was Catfish Charlie's? A restaurant called Catfish Charlie's. Yeah.
What's there now?
Donato's. It was the same damn thing. They had pizza. So they switched. They just got a Donato's franchise. And they switched it to Donato's. My grandmother always wanted to go to Catfish Charlie's. So we ate there a bunch. It was Donato's pizza. I don't know why. Apparently they just realized maybe we should buy a franchise before we get sued. So, you know, you get a sub or a fish sandwich or some shit like that. And, you know, Catfish Charlie's. I don't know. What the hell, man? That's the last time I was over there. I don't know. Jesus.
So my real question is, why would you go to Pizza Cottage at all?
I was going to go to Kingy's, and they weren't open for lunch.
Yeah, they don't open until 4.
That was literally the closest place, next place over. It wasn't interesting. I was like, Henry, where do you want to go for lunch? I don't know. Anywhere. He goes, anywhere? No, we're not going to Hyde Park. So, you know.
Yeah, I will say. You better narrow it down for him.
Yeah, Boston's was okay. I mean, they have calorie counts on every fucking thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to know what my calorie count is on goddamn dressing. Okay? I mean, fuck, man. Fish and chips, 2,030 calories. Don't serve it then. Why are your fish and chips over 2,000 calories? That's a lot.
That's a good question.
I mean, they had one. It was like a pasta dish. It was 3,000 fucking calories.
Jesus.
It's like, what are you doing? Don't put, if you're going to make a dish that's that high calories, don't put the calorie count on there, man. It's like, look how fucking ridiculous we are, fat fuck. And it's like, Jesus.
You're required to. If you have so many restaurants and so, you go past a certain threshold.
Yeah. And they need to reevaluate their recipes then, because it's like, wow.
I don't think people on the diet go to the Boston's.
It's the first time I've ever been. I mean, it tasted good, but you knew it was make you fat.
It's fine. Boston's is fine. I mean, they really had great experiences there, service wise.
It's a cross between Red Robin and TGI Fridays. I mean,
deep dish pizza.
I didn't see deep dish pizza on there.
Yeah, they do pizza.
Boston, well, they had pizza. Henry had cheese pizza, and he was raving about it. He said it was delicious. I had a burger. and bourbon. I did see the pizza burger. It looked like fucking shit. It was fucking gross. A friend of mine ordered it. He got it. He's like, it's fucking gross. I was like, well, yeah, it looks like a calzone with a cow turd in the middle of it.
So wait, they did crust around the burger instead of a bun?
Yeah. It's this big, obnoxious, ugly-looking thing that you don't know how to eat. It looked terrible. Yeah.
I mean, like a cheeseburger calzone with actually ground beef and onion and cheddar cheese, that would be a good calzone.
Yeah, but there isn't that. But it's not, pizza not sauce it. On it top of a big hamburger of mozzarella.
That they put a calzone crust around.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really big. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm good, man.
Somebody did that. Dana White did that.
What do you mean?
A burger that he did pizza crust around, and he Instagrammed it.
He would.
But if I don't recall, his looked good.
Well, this wasn't. Mine, though, was good. I mean, once again, though, you know, I'm sure it made me fat, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have to go jog or something. I'll just be, you know, anorexic.
No, I've gotten no stories of grandchildren or children, although with my kids, you never know. They might shit in the front yard, but.
Yeah, there might be a few of yours, yeah.
Yeah, or son-in-law.
Yeah.
Probably not a daughter-in-law. No, she wouldn't do that.
No,
she wouldn't. She's
not cool enough. You gotta be pretty badass to do that, especially when you don't have to. See, he didn't have to do that. There was no need for him to do
that. So now he's a badass?
Well, he's Luke. He punched a kid in his soccer game on Thursday night. In the chest.
Because?
Well, Luke was protecting the goal, and the kid tried to pull score. Him away from the goal. No, he didn't have the ball. And Luke didn't take kind of that, so he punched him right in the chest. And that kid cried. And the woman turned around, and she saw the look on Luke's face. And she's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to like say anything to that kid because he's going to punch me, too.
Who's the woman? She was the official?
It was one of the kids. It was one of the coaches. Not Luke's coach. But and then that little kid became friends with Luke because he was probably afraid of him.
Because he bullied him.
Well, the kid shouldn't have been putting his hands on him. You don't put your hands on Luke. He'll punch you. He punched William in the dick tonight. He taught him. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. Henry was messing with William, too. I was like, Henry, he's going to punch you in the dick. What happened to Henry? He got punched in the dick. I was like, he's just going to punch you in the dick. It's the easiest thing to do. Henry had a bad experience today. We were working. I was
outside of getting punched in the dick by
that was
brother?
Yesterday.
Oh.
So we were working on. I was doing goalie. He was kicking on me. I stopped him. But anyway, he was getting frisky, and I had to push him a little bit. I pushed him, and he landed on the soccer ball. Fell down, landed on the soccer ball, but his nuts right on the soccer ball. This didn't work out well for him.
This is not funny.
So I took him to Pizza Cottage. So, folks, that's what happened to me this weekend. If you have interesting stories, tell us. That way we can pretend like it happened to us, and we'll have another interesting potpourri. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
As opposed to this one.
Yes, I know. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2017 Michel Chapoutier Crosses or Cross Hermitage. They're Petite Roche. So,
Cross Hermitage.
Cross Hermitage. The S and the H are silent.
Scores.
That's correct.
Of integrity.
Mm. And what, by the way, what would you pair with this?
We didn't really, you said we were going to do that.
Yeah, we forgot.
At the time, I was like, I don't know what I would pair with it. Mm-hmm. I know, so we got a little, we always have a little meat and cheese thing going on, and the little spicy pepperoni kind of pairs nice with it. So I wonder, I'm trying to think of a spicy dish that would go nice with it, and I don't have anything, but...
You know, we just talked about off the air. No, I take that back. I was going to say the peppers and sausage, but tomato sauce, I don't think, no, marinara.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's an odd pairing because of just the way the wine comes through and the soft front, or the kind of the plush front palate and then the undertones of the tobacco, the brush, and the black cherry or the black fruits. It's an unusual wine to pair. It wouldn't do well with a steak. Yeah, mushroom risotto. It'd actually be nice with that.
Like
mushroom risotto is what I would go with.
I always like doing this. You get brisket by the pound. And then you just lay it out on the plate, and as it's just getting beyond room temperatures, it's just cooling and the fat's gelling. I love brisket like that. This would be great with that. Just as little
No, that would be good. Finger slices. Just the fattiness of it.
Yeah, but it's all cooked down. You know, it's not a steak mm-hmm. anymore. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not.
Yeah.
Just as the brisket comes back together.
No, I'll go along with that one. I can feel that one.
I could see
stew.
I could see sausage, but it'd have to be that sausage that is been braised in that sauce, so it's like almost come falling apart.
I had an interesting one. It's Boar's Head Knockwurst.
Okay.
It's trail bologna. It just tastes like trail bologna.
So it's not that off-white colored thing. It just looks like bologna.
But we like trail bologna.
I love trail bologna.
You would love their knockwurst.
The real trail bologna that's peppery and dense.
Yep.
This
was dense. Mm. A little fatty, crispy casing. The boys raved over it.
See, I like that more German knockwurst that's that kind of whitish meat.
Mm, this is their take on it. So that's
meant to be.
Take away the
eaten with sauerkraut.
Knockwurst. Then just think of it as a sausage that tastes kind of like trail bologna that's delicious.
Okay.
Then you'd be like, okay. I wouldn't want it in a bun. I would want to slice it and eat it with not. And this would actually go well with that too.
Yeah, Boar's Head makes lunch meat. They don't make sausages.
They make this. That was pretty good. I've had several sausages from them. I don't think I would equate them to being what is on the package, but they're still pretty good. I did a spicy chicken in kind of like a goulash kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was spicy. Huh. But it was really, really good sausage, chicken sausage. They make pretty good. We often have.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I would love to have with this dish.
What's that?
Have you ever had a traditional chicken paprikash?
No.
Yes.
I am aware of paprikash, I have not had such a thing. Eastern European, correct?
Yes. And it's a hearty dish.
Mm-hmm.
It is tomato based, but that's not the main focus of the dish. It's a stewy type chicken dish with a lot of paprika in it, but mm-hmm. I think that spiciness of the paprika would go well with this.
Oh, I can see that.
I wouldn't go all on like a hot pepper, like hot ass chicken wings, that kind of spiciness, but just in general, a little spiciness would go well with this wine.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your score?
I'm at an 89. It's just not quite a 90. I'm not sure why. Why does it start with an 8 and not a 9? It's like, it's a really good wine. I enjoy it. It's interesting, too. I'm not sure what I expected, but I guess the thing that caught me by surprise was the fruit-forward nature of it.
I think all the reviews and even Chaputière's website suggest that.
It just doesn't have that badass mouthfeel that I expect from this producer. And maybe it's just the region and the wine is what the wine is.
It's a nice wine.
It's really good. There's nothing wrong, but I just can't give it a 90. And I'm trying to defend that score.
You mean you're Russian. It's not Russian. And for me, this is...
I was going Tucker Carlson's Russia.
Oh, good God. Fuck that guy.
Is that good? Did you like that?
Fuck it.
That's the Tucker Carlson theme
music. To the middle of the ocean and throw him in it.
There's a political article.
If he makes it back to the fucking shore.
Send him... Russia to negotiate for, not funny, the Wall Street journalist that's being imprisoned.
I think they should throw him in a volcano that's active. I think this is a very nice wine, and nice is the term I would say. I agree that it's an 89. It doesn't quite have the punch. You think... Northern Rhone. Now, there are parts of Northern Rhone that are softer, that are more floral, but this doesn't have the floral elements.
No, it didn't.
It's just softer. And so if it had floral elements, it A, wouldn't really go with Gros Hermitage, but it would maybe, it would be that extra dimension that would get it up to that next point, but it doesn't really have those elements. It doesn't have, I mean, it has very good 101 elements all the way through it that are very, very well proportioned, it's balanced, it's nice, but it just isn't as powerful or as complex as it should be one way or the other. It could either have the power or it could have the complexity. It doesn't really excel at either one. It's just kind of one of these things where the stats are all kind of even, and it doesn't do anything really exceptional. Maybe the black pepper at the finish, but it does everything really, really nicely, and it's a nice wine. For people that want to kind of dip their toe into Northern Rhone, that want to dip their toe into Syrah, to see something that may be a little bit uglier, but isn't quite, it's not the full Monty. It's not the whole enchilada. It's just a little bit into that.
And Sisney, if you're listening, try this one. This is Syrah through and through. And let me know what you think of it.
Well, Syrah is a chameleon a little bit. I mean, we talk about Zen, we talk about Sangiovese. This is Syrah is a very big time chameleon where it can
this
be something.
This is as chameleon as chameleon comes for a Syrah.
It can be absolutely a beast, and it can be a delicate thing. This is also only 13% alcohol.
Yeah.
So they're even doing that too. I mean, there's a lot of nice things about this wine that if you see it at $24.99 like I did, you buy it. I don't know at 35 that you buy it, but at 25 you do.
Yeah, I think it's fine where it's priced. It's still. I wonder from vintage to vintage if there's some.
Well, this also could be losing a little bit of power.
Nature of it. This like is, you could have, you get that one vintage where it's just a fucking home run.
Well, I think the 21 is out there too. So this is old. It doesn't taste old.
No.
So there's that. It's a great wine though. Don't get us wrong. This is a really, really good entry. And I'm extremely happy that we drank it. I love any kind of Syrah.
If you're
afraid
of the tobacco, this is the one to drink then because it's not overwhelming. It's just there in the background. If you've never tried a Syrah and you can get your hands on this, this might not be a bad introduction to Syrah because it's not as burly. And Syrahs can be off-putting to people. They can't.
They can be.
Just because they're so different and brutish sometimes.
Scott and I Scott and I love the beast of the Syrah beast. I mean, when we make fun of Vincenzo's, where we had I had round steak and Scott had what'd you have tuna fish? I don't follow that. It was a ghastly, nasty restaurant in Louisville. But the wine we had was Ramey's Syrah. And it was a showstopper. It was delicious. It was magnificent. It was a magnificent wine.
It was the only thing magnificent about the whole fucking evening.
The rest of it was tragic. Although the appetizers, we had it on the chafing dishes, and it tasted just like mush, which you guys were raving over. And I was like, I didn't understand the appetizers at this place because Scott and Steve.
There was one that was really the one appetizer were, was good,
but they were like
was really good.
It tasted like Bertolini pasta, and
tortellini was not.
But you ordered like weird shit. It was like so. We're there
we're and hungry.
This place, yeah, this place has chafing dishes at the at tableside, so they reheat the food because they don't cook it in the back, I think. But they like to say that they're preparing the food tableside, but it's not. They're reheating cold food because they're dipshits. Or they already have a hot pan. They just pour the hot pan into the other pan, which doesn't make any sense. But if you like the smell of butane, it makes sense. So I don't, but some people do because they're fucking dumbasses. But still, the appetizers that they ordered weren't appetizers. So they ordered like tortellini, and it was like just mushy tortellini. Then they also ordered crepes, but the crepes weren't crepes.
No, they weren't. That it was just, those were awful.
It was just slop. It was actually just a so gloop of sauce.
Appetizer, and it was the one that was good, but what was it?
There wasn't any of them. They all tasted the same. They were like this like weirdo pasta dishes that they just brought out as like a communal thing.
The third one, it was whatever it was, there were two of them, and the guy wouldn't give us a third one. We'll pay. Just do it. We'll just give us a third one so you don't... No, I can't.
I didn't understand the whole concept of the what our appetizers were. I just didn't understand it. And then when the entrees came out, it all made sense.
What was the third one?
This place is stupid. It's like, oh, I understand where we're at now. Jackassery. I don't know what it was.
Meat appetizer?
Meat.
Like a veal thing?
No, I don't think it was any veal. There was nothing interesting in that place. I mean, you know. I mean, there was the bathroom where they were all the like men's and women's, the W and the M were all broken up. Somebody had broken all, they ate half of the M. Where'd the M go? It took half the M, so it was just like an upside down V on the bathroom door. It's like, where the fuck the rest of that? How does that break?
Louisville, which we're bashing Louisville, which has had a tragic weekend.
Louisville.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Louisville?
What was the other tragic shit?
The two shootings.
Oh, the shootings, yes. But two? I didn't know about the second one.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, is Vincenzo's still open?
That's the third That's tragic.
Equally tragic. So, fuck.
The mistake was ours. We, after the appetizers, yours. We should have left after the bottle of wine.
Scott
we
was
knew
so upset.
The menu.
You were so angry.
I was mad at you guys because we actually fucking ate there.
And the funny thing was, we stuck it out because of how angry Scott was.
Oh, but then you guys got angry.
Oh, it was bad. I'd never seen Steve get that mad, and Steve was mad. And Steve, you know what? He determined that everyone in that restaurant came looking for a lesson, and he gave a lesson. Schoolmaster Steve went off on them, and yeah, I didn't have to say anything. It's like, oh, we'll take those off the bill. Yeah, you will. Yes, we don't pay for round steak and frozen vegetables. So, folks, for $2.89, a recommended.
Yeah.
A tip of the cap to
anything by Chipoutier.
Oh, yes. Great, great wines. We love their stuff. We recommend anything from them, always and forever.
Each moment I pray.
Great winery. Big producer, but they make great wine. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we will see you at... Oh, well.
Yeah, that was slick. Slick Rick.
You know what? I've done this 355 times, and I never fucked that up like that.
With you.
Nevertheless, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.